caught in the idea of numbers. Especially, you know, I realize it when this question is asked to me about rebirth. When the topic comes for discussion that when people die, then they are reborn. But look, the population is increasing. Where from all those souls are then coming up? It is the idea is very funny because we are restricted here with our number system. We do not realize that it is a restriction, a limitation. The number system that we use has no existence beyond our brain. And therefore, it cannot count those numbers. The number of beings as counted by our brain is not any reality beyond what can be perceived by brain. That number system has no significance beyond our brain. And therefore, this question doesn't arise. How many beings are there? Just as it is not possible to say that how many particles are there, say, in anything, say in this book, how many particles are there? Well, how big you want to make them, it depends on that. Suppose your idea of particle is, as small as you can see by your eye, then the number will be one. If you want to go beyond that and see if you are a scientist, how many molecules are there? Well, you may get some number. But that is not again the ultimate answer. You may say how many atoms are there? Then how many subatomic particles are there? And maybe those subatomic particles that we call now, they can be divided further and further, who knows. So, therefore, how many particles are there in the book has really no definite answer. Depends on what would you like to call a particle. Similarly, the number of beings is what we try to judge within our framework provided by the brain. And the brain works in a very limited field of these discrete numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In between, the brain cannot manipulate, cannot understand at all. You may say, do we not say one half? Again, you have used the two same numbers there, you know, 1 and 2. And somehow combine them to say one half. We have no idea of what is beyond this discrete number system. Basically, our brain cannot appreciate it. I don't want to dwell further here, but just to let us feel that our intelligence as such is very limited and cannot take us beyond space and time. It also cannot therefore bring us the reality or the truth that does not change. So, it is important therefore that we need not think that I am very intelligent and on the basis of my bright intelligence, I will be able to solve the riddle. I don't need to take support of anybody. I am capable of doing everything. Now, what is in all these statements, what is the key word? That I can do everything, that ego, it cannot really do anything. And yet it goes on bragging, becoming stronger and stronger in the sense that it becomes more and more deluded and more limited. So therefore, one has to feel this, that we have to take recourse to God who is beyond time and space. And therefore that God is in me too, in us too. That is our reality also. And that is what is referred to here as taking refuge. question in the last class, that why do then everyone not do it? If this is the truth, if this is the way, why do everyone not just come and takes refuge in you? That is an impact of ignorance or delusion. And therefore, it takes long time for most of us to understand that this is the only right way. Like one learns gradually that honesty is the best policy, but people keep on trying other things first. If they work, fine. If they don't work, then gradually one comes to understand honesty is the best policy. Other things are tried first. So similarly, we try other solutions first, that making a world a nice place to live in. Let me solve all the problems of the world. Let me solve first the problem of the Middle East, problem of China, problem of Korea, problem of Japan, problem of Iran. And then after all those are solved, then this problem is a minor one, I can tackle any time. But it doesn't happen. None of those problems ever get solved. They may just get replaced by other problems. So it just changes form. As Vivekananda gives this nice example, the chronic rheumatism, you drive it from your left knee, it comes into your right knee. You drive it from the knees, it comes into your shoulders. So it doesn't go away, you just keep on pushing it from one place to another place. So solving problems in the world is something like that. So many people keep on trying for that. Many think that, well, it is if I solve my financial problems, that will take care of everything. And God and other things are only for the fools who are, they do not know how to manage their life, and therefore they go there. So they base all their actions on this principle of ego. I am so and so, and I will take care of all these problems myself. So they don't approach God at all. So he says that let us divide the people into two categories, those who approach me and those who don't approach me. So those who don't approach me, in the next verse he calls them the evildoers or not good people. So that is the definition of those who are not good, those who do not turn to God. Namam duskriti no mudha prapadyante naradhamaha mayaya parita jnana asuram bhavamashritaha. Righteous among men, the wicked and the ignorant do not take refuge in me, being deprived of discrimination by Maya and betaking themselves to demonic attitude. A very strong language has been used about those who do not take refuge in God. We may wonder why Lord is using this strong condemning language. The reason is that all the evil that we see in the world is because of this increasing of the ego tendency. It creates this I and the world divide. This divide becomes more and more pronounced. And then this I keeps on seeking all the fulfillment from the world without caring that others may be deprived or or what will happen to others. The killing is nothing for this person. Depriving others then becomes nothing for this person. My fulfilling my desire, that is the prime idea. And so it doesn't matter if even if millions are rendered homeless, that person doesn't care. As long as my profits increase, that's what I am going to see. It's nothing beyond that. It doesn't matter that even if others are even deprived of the most basic necessities, I am going to get all that I want. After all, the world is for the intelligent, brave and fit people, the survival of the fittest. That is the Darwin's distinct principle of evolution. So, let me just help myself to get more and more of this world, and those who are not fit will be eliminated. Why should I care about them? If we see that the roots of all that we call bad actions, evil tendencies, is in this attitude that, well, I am the most important person. I should get everything and let others go to hell. I don't care. It is, I don't care. That kind of attitude is this the matrix of all evil. It is, therefore Lord says that when people are not taking recourse to God, they are taking recourse to their ego, and that is the source of all evil. So it is not condemnation of any particular person, because we all have those tendencies in us. Sometimes we take refuge in God, we feel peaceful, and we think that, yes, well, there are higher things that I should take recourse to. And at that time, we are not these condemned beings. But sometimes our mind works differently. Even what the children are usually quite honest in their expression. So we had some time back a class from some school. Children were there about the age, say, around 8, 10, like that. Then I asked one girl that, well, are you always a very good, well-behaved girl? Are you a well-behaved girl? And that girl did the hands like this. That is, sometimes I am well-behaved, sometimes I am not. And when we grow to adulthood, we don't change much from that point of view. We are sometimes very good, but at times we also have those evil propensities taking charge of us, the selfish attitude taking charge of us, and goads us to do many things that otherwise we won't commit. So this idea has been actually discussed in the third chapter that we have already seen. The question that Arjuna asks Lord, that what makes us commit evil actions in spite of not really wanting to do that? There is something that propels us to do such actions, breaking our barrier against them. And what is that? And Lord has given a very detailed, beautiful reply to that, that it is the greed or cravings and the anger. They are not two things, Lord explains there. Our cravings when they are not fulfilled, they turn into anger. Like a ball thrown on this wall, it hits the wall, cannot go any further, and so turns back, so rebounds. So our desire, when it meets an obstacle, if it doesn't meet an obstacle, it should get fulfilled. But there is no desire in the world that doesn't meet an obstacle. I don't want to talk about that right now, but that is the case with all our desires, that they meet a block. And what happens then? It rebounds. When it rebounds, that is called anger. So, this anger and the desires, they are your enemies that force you to do the evil things, and therefore he says, beware them. Treat them as enemies. Why? There is a nice commentary there by Shankaracharya that says that, you know, we often treat them as friends. We do not treat our desires as enemies, thinking that those desires bring pleasures to me. And so we hug them as friends. And it is only when their bad effects start showing up, we understand that they are enemies. So therefore we should cultivate this habit of treating our desires as the demons or enemies that obstruct our path. So, this is what Lord says, that these people, they are the mudhaha, means deluded. This comes because of delusion that the I and the world appears to be real. And that divide appearing as real, they feel that they should extract maximum from the world. So, it is these people therefore do all those things which are termed as evil in this society, and their progress towards the ultimate truth gets stopped by that. So, they are the evil doers. Now, there is less or more in that, but Lord doesn't speak about them here. He is emphasizing the other part of us, that there is a being in us who wants to become unselfish, who wants to do good, who is therefore intently devoted. Devotion doesn't mean, you know, one should not confuse between devotion and the show of devotion. Many times show of devotion is another expression of expressing one's ego. That is not what is meant here. They are also counted amongst evildoers, although they may be taking or thinking, really not, they are just using the word God, that's all. And there is the idea of God is absent there, only the word is being used there for their own aggrandizement, that's all. Therefore, what is, Lord has not really categorized these evildoers into further more or less, because the topic is the other people, those who turn to God, and we have that tendency in us too. So let us pay attention to that. It is important to pay attention to that part in each of us, the divinity in each of us. It is therefore Swami Vivekananda hammers this point again and again very powerfully, that never say that I am a sinner. it is always say that God is in me. Have faith in yourself. Having faith in yourself will then make you have faith in God too. This may appear on the face of it somewhat contradictory, and many questions do crop up about this, that what is then the faith in ourselves? Does it not make us egotistic? No, friends. Faith in ourselves here is meant as the faith on the divine in us. That divine is in me. The faith on that. And based on that, then now, emphasizing that divine element in us, see, the life undergoes then a transformation. A shift in attitude comes. Emphasizing the changing aspect in us, that is, the holding on to ego, that makes us evildoers. Emphasizing or holding on to the divine in us, now it is a radical shift in our attitude. That makes us, you know, love others automatically, because that brings out the sameness or the oneness in us, that emphasizes that oneness in us, and therefore it is a shift in our attitude, and therefore Lord calls them Sukriti, Dushkriti and Sukriti. Let us hold on to that aspect in us. And when we hold on to that, we will see that it grows. Whatever we cultivate, that will grow. If we think of ourselves as not good, I am sinner, I do all these bad things, then those things will grow in life. Because we unconsciously are meditating on the evil side. So whatever you think of, whatever you meditate on, that grows. If we meditate on the divine aspect in us, that grows. So let us think of this. And Lord is speaking about them in a few verses to come. That there is also a gradation or a gradual path of growth. We should not feel discouraged that, well, I did not use my life till now in this direction, and is it too late now? Or the idea that that saintliness doesn't come to me at all, when will it, if at all, when will it come? So Lord says here in this very important, very beautiful verse, that there is a graded path. There is hope for everyone, that we can graduate from one category to the other category and become ultimately completely devoted to this divine. So he says, Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritinorjuna arto jignasurarthi jnani cha bharatarshabha. Four kinds of people who have done virtuous deeds worship me. O Arjuna, the distressed person, the aspirant after knowledge, the seeker of wealth and the man of knowledge, O best of Bharatas. The aspirant after knowledge is the translation given here. Some other translations in this respect are, because the word knowledge comes again in the next word. So to distinguish, some other translators have used the word that those who are inquisitive about the information of God and all that. So, four categories. Artha jignasu. Artha means afflicted. It is the distressed person. All of these are categories of those who are good. good in the sense those who think of the principle, divine principle in them, those who are attached or tied with them, they meditate on that, they think of that. But the thinking is of various types, various categories. Chaturvidha, four categories are there, prominently speaking. Those who take refuge in God because they are terribly afflicted and distressed in life. The life brings us a big share of sufferings too. It is not always sunshine and beautiful and all joyous. There are lot of moments, many days that one spends in a suffering condition, maybe because of physical illness, because of emotional unfulfillments or shocks, various reasons, but one gets that dose of distress in life a lot. And this is a great important way that the God blesses people, because this helps the person to turn the mind to something higher. In many cases, people think of God only when they are in distress, when they are in problem, when they are in big trouble, and then they think of God. Like that story that the New York taxi driver goes to the heaven before the priest goes. Why the priest complained, you know, I have been preaching about God and he is just my taxi driver, he used to just take me. How he became higher in the heaven? And then the answer given to him was, you know, our placement is based not on your title, but on your performance, actual performance. This taxi driver has made so many people do the prayer because of his that driving. That when they sit there, people, they have to perforce, you know, think of God, because they are always in the terror, danger. Oh Lord, save me. So therefore, it is, therefore that he made so many people pray. You gave just sermons and people were half attentive, half not attentive, and forgot about it. So therefore, your performance, your title may be higher, but actual performance was not as great as this taxi driver. So therefore, the idea is that when we feel distressed, when we feel this in danger, then we know that the God alone now is the savior. No human forces around are capable of taking care of me. So God alone can save me. So therefore, you keep on praying to God. If you have, say, any big problem of health also, that a very nagging headache, and this, like the problems like chronic migraine, it is, I asked one devotee here who has this terrible problem, migraine. So when I see her, I ask, how is your grain today? My grain, you know, so it is. So because that comes suddenly, and then she is so much in problem and pain, cannot do anything. Many of her plans go haywire because of this attack of migraine. So, goes to doctor. In fact, she herself is a doctor, but that doesn't help, you know. It is, goes to many physicians. They say, no, we don't have any cure. Take the pills. If it it works, fine. If it doesn't work, fine. What can, there is nothing that we can do about it. So they give the advice and learn to live with it. It is. And if you don't have it, it is easier to give that advice, you know, and learn to live with it. So it is at that time then who can solve this terrible problem? I have tried allopaths, I have tried naturopaths, I have tried homeopaths and all, but I am not cured by any of these. So what can be done? So maybe God can bring cure. So this person turns to God. There is some big problem in life and the person sees no solution. It is so ultimately takes recourse to God. In case of Arjuna, we see this. Arjuna didn't think of Krishna as God till that terrible problem came in his life. And in the second chapter, we read Arjuna's words there that I don't see any way out of this terrible suffering. You have to take me out of this, O Lord. I take refuge in Thee. You are my teacher. I am your student. Please shower your blessings and take me out of this terrible state I am in. So, it is that state of distress that brought Arjuna to take refuge in God. In our life also we see, even the atheist, they tell of an atheist that his friend saw coming out of a worship place. And his friend asked, "Oh, you always brag that you are an atheist. Why did you go to this worship place?" He said, "Yes, I am an atheist, but tomorrow is a very important court case, and that everything is hanging in balance. I don't know what the jury is going to decide or what. So, I don't believe in God, but who knows, He may still be there. I don't want any stone left untouched. So, therefore, I am coming here also. This is very important." It is when things are very important, then those other our philosophical convictions, we keep them aside. I will work on them later in the time of leisure. In the time of this distress, whatever can get rid of this distress, I will take recourse of that, whether I like it or whether I don't like it, whether I believe, whether I don't believe, let me take recourse to that. So afflictions is a way that brings many people to God, not for the sake of God per se, but for getting rid of that affliction. So it is one category that people worship God for that, and you can see that it is a big, big category. Many people come to think of God because of some affliction, some distress, some suffering, and for which they feel that God may provide some solution. Therefore, many times I get the messages, the calls, even visitations that pray for this. There is a tremendous problem there, and please, I am very sad. Please pray for me, or pray for such and such person. Why this idea comes there? And not because of the intense love for God as such, but God as bringing remedy. Some remedy can be provided by God in this therefore God is taken up as a remover of distress there, and so is prayed for by those who are in distress. So that is one category. Here, as we saw, the attention is not so much on God. And like when you go to doctor, not that you are in terribly in love with the doctor as person, but then doctor can cure a problem that you have. So therefore, you go to doctor as the removal of this problem. So instead of doctor, you go to a higher doctor, the God that can take care of everything. There was one nice incident there in India in one pilgrimage place. Myself and another Swami, we were staying there together. And when I came there, the Swami was having some fevers and all that. So I said, "Did you show to doctor?" He said, "Yes." "Which doctor?" And he said that I have shown to Dr. G.D. Chatterjee. G.D. Chatterjee? Now, where is that G.D. Chatterjee's dispensary? I didn't see anywhere. He smiled. "No, there is his dispensary, and he is the best doctor." I said, "Why? What is this?" Then said Gadadhar Chatterjee, Sri Ramakrishna's name, you know, Sri Ramakrishna, I just prayed to Sri Ramakrishna and then he will take care of it. So it is, I didn't go to any physician. So people go to take recourse to God as the remover of distress. So there is then other category. Some don't have any particular distress. But human beings by very nature are inquisitive. And they, what is happening there, we feel a bit interested. Like to know what is going on. Like we see the one way of traffic jam is that some accidents. Not that that fellow is in accident, but accident has taken place somewhere on the other side. You are, say, going eastwards and the accident has happened on the west side of that highway. But the traffic has slowed down here. Why? Because people are that is called gooseneck. Gooseneck, rubbernecking. So rubberneck, and the traffic slows down. Inquisitiveness, not that they are going to stop and provide some help, not that they are so considerate, but inquisitive, oh, what happened there? And that is one way, one reason. So human beings are inquisitive. And so, like some people come here, I had been going on this road, you know, I live nearby, I walk, take a walk every day, and this was bothering me for quite some time. What goes on inside this Vedanta society? So ultimately I decided to press the doorbell. So out of that inquisitive nature, let me know. So many people talk about God, so many people, there are churches and all this. So like our George, he is not in that category, but I am using his word. They go into this God business out of that inquisitiveness. What is this God business about? So let me know about this God business a little bit. So that is the spirit of the news reporters they will go and find out what's happening. Ask this fellow, let me take notes, interview this man, that man. Triveni, what do you think about God? And then Triveni tells her experience. Okay, and do you feel happy about it? Which heaven do you think God stays in? And then so the questions are collected. We'll go to this church, that worship place. Okay, let me go one day to synagogue, one day to the mosque, one day to Vedanta Society, and ask everybody what is their idea of God, and then we'll publish an article that ideas of God in different denominations. So a very inquisitive attitude, but then that may deepen later on. A touch of God in any way, you know, helps. As Sri Ramakrishna used to say that a candy, whether you eat it from this side or from that side, whether you break it first and then eat or start eating right away, it is going to taste the same. That sweet taste will be felt whether you eat it straight or oblong or whatever. So, therefore, this touch of God in whatever way, it creates a transformation. Friends, this is not a theory. I have seen many people really becoming devotees, very sincere and intense devotees. Their journey began as just this curiosity seeker, the inquirer, and such a person. He wanted to just be informed that let us have GK, our GK count should go, general knowledge count should go high. So let me have knowledge about these things also. So this spirit of inquiry, that is another category. It is higher because those who are afflicted and so go to God, they are really forced. They are compelled by their afflictions. This person is going to God not because of any such intense compulsion, but out of the spirit of inquiry. So, this person is placed a little higher. Then there are those who see God as giver of all good. These people are not afflicted but want to have progress in life. They are called here the artharthi, the seeker of wealth. So, although the literal translation is seeker of wealth, it means seeker of prosperity and progress and all different directions. So, God will help me to do this progress. God will help me to complete my PhD. God is the one who will help me to win the lottery. It is I have the lottery ticket, but God will help me. Some people also keep on praying to God even without buying a ticket. You know? So God says them that, well, I can help you to win lottery, but at least you have to buy a ticket. You see, if you don't buy the ticket, even I cannot help you. So it is the idea that Lord is the giver of prosperity, giver of boons, giver of wealth, bringing about the progress in the world, that is the idea of God in some. Yes, the God, because you know, we are after all church goers, and therefore God has showered so much prosperity on us. In the Parliament of Religions, this Swami Vivekananda mentions this idea that here I see people have criticized Hindus because Hindus, if their God is powerful, their God would have made them prosperous, rich, But look at their wretched condition. So that religion that they follow is no good. It is. Look at the Christian nations. They are conquerors of the world. They have achieved everything because their religion is superior. Their God is superior. God is showering all the blessings on them. So, God is perceived in this manner also. The one who showers victories, who showers all the blessings in the form of prosperity. And so therefore one should worship God, giver of all great boons, givers of prosperity. And many turn to God for that. Many worship God everywhere. And India, no exception. In fact, most Indians worship God for this reason, that, okay, God will bring prosperity to my home, prosperity in my life, well-being. And it is, therefore, it is, you will see that the harvest worships in all culture, it is like that. Why? God, the bringer of all this harvest. It is dependent on God. So if God brings showers, then the crops will come. And so this thanksgiving and all that is, the idea behind that is the God who bestows all prosperity. So people who seek, and as human beings, we are bound to search for prosperity and wealth and such things till we understand that God is the real wealth. So this is the third category. And then the fourth category, the highest category, is those who worship God out of knowledge, that God alone is everything. That is the only thing to aspire for. Nothing else needs to be sought after because it is nothing. It doesn't bring any happiness. It only intensifies the bondage. And therefore, let me single-mindedly worship God for God, not for something from God. The first three categories are worshippers of God to get something from God. The fourth category is worshipping God for getting God alone. I don't want anything. I want Lord alone. So this is the last category. We shall continue. You know, this topic will continue in a few verses more to come. And we shall try to study that. Do you have any questions? Oh, you have question, Charles. Okay. Two questions. Okay.
I've met many people who are atheists or agnostics, and they try to lead a good life, and they believe that sex is okay in a loving relationship, and they maybe believe that alcohol is okay, but they try to do good to the world. In fact, before I became involved here, I was sort of like that, and I believed in social justice was what I was trying to bring about. And do you call these people evil people? Even Kwame Tyagananda, he said, there's a humanist chaplain, I think he said at Harvard, and he said he's a nice guy and he's a considerate person. So how do you...
That is a very good question. In fact, I had spoken of that while giving the idea of the devotees of God. See, this is those who believe in doing good. They also have an idea of good, and that becomes their God. That idea of good does not stem from anything in this world as such. If you try to stress the source of how did they get an idea of good, doing good to others. Yesterday, we had a visitor and I was talking to him that doing good to the world, where do you get your idea of good? Not all people have exactly same idea of what is good. In fact, sometimes these ideas are quite diametrically opposite. Like the Democrats' idea of implementing good to United States is not exactly the Tea Party idea of doing good to the world. They are not same. So where do you have this source of this, what is good? So if you trace it, it is really related to God within you. You are calling it by another name, that's all. It is, we had a nice meeting, very beautiful discussion amongst various adherents of different faiths, and that organizer very wisely has invited an atheist also. That because she considered, and I agree with her, that atheism is also a form of theism. It is atheism because they believe in atheism, is it not? They are believers in atheism. So, in fact, this man said, we don't believe in God, we don't believe in this thing, we believe. And I pointed out to him, and he was surprised at that gentleman. I said that none of us whom you categorize as the believers, the Christians and Hindus and Jewish, Islamists, so I said none of us have used the word I believe as much as you have used. Look at what you have been speaking. And I gave him I was not taking notes on paper, but I repeated the statements that he said. You said this, I believe in this, I believe in this, I believe in reason. So it is same, your reason is your God there. So it is, the question is this, that if they are doing something that doesn't have their ego as the basis, then that is good. They are categorized as good people. So that which is has the basis as ego, that although may appear superficially good, like we see that in the lives of all the politicians, they all speak of doing good to the whole humanity, whole community, as if nothing is uppermost in their heart. They have taken birth only to do good to the world. So, but are they really that they are using the word good? But what they mean is this, what is called bad by Lord. So therefore, we should understand that in a broader sense, and I have made that point while telling that it is, somebody may just be believer and not being really a good person in the sense that is just substituting this ego by God, that's all. So what is your second question? There is nothing wrong if you pray. Nothing wrong if you pray. That is why, it is nothing wrong. Whether it will happen or not, you don't know. We will discuss those ideas later. It is good to pray in any form. It depends on the mental level of a person. Yes, Roshni?
Desire to be a thing.
scientists often ask question that are all desires bad? You said a quick question, but it is not a very quick question. And answer is also not very quick one, but I will try to be very brief. That the desires have basically nothing completely bad or completely good about it in the relative sense. It is bad in the sense that it limits us. Now, therefore, you can cultivate those desires which are somewhat better, but you have to give up that desire also. No desire is really completely good, but one desire may help us to get rid of a worse desire. Like do higher studies is a better desire than to be just a couch potato and do nothing. It is a better desire. So this desire of doing some higher studies will help you to be at least active, do something better. So it is a better desire that will help you to get rid of the worst desire. Like that, there is a gradation. What in principle Sri Ramakrishna has called as the Vidya Maya, the Maya or of knowledge as against Maya of ignorance. So it is there is a gradation regarding that. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Today, as you know, is a very important festival, the festival of lights. Light is very important in all religious traditions. And you will see that in Bible, in the Hindu scriptures, in Buddhist scriptures, in Taoist scriptures, everywhere you will see this idea of light. And that is the way today that called Deepavali, the festival of lights. And to idea is the light that illumines, let that light illumine our hearts. And after this, there is some sweets kept there, very nicely made by our devotee Vishali, and you can pick up a piece or even two pieces if you so like. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarai Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvinisrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam